We're going to be here again in Philippians chapter 2, and we are going to do our dead level best to finish today. So we got a lot of stuff to cover, so I'm not going to do much of a review. All right, y'all going to be okay with that? And so I know some of y'all weren't here last week, but anyhow, we're going to have to just get to it. We're going to start from B. We didn't get to this yet. We actually finished last week with dealing with Roman numeral 1, the walk of unity. And so we've talked about the unity. A is based on our fellowship in Christ. And so B, that unity, it is evidenced by the character of Christ. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Can somebody read that for me? Okay, so to be like-minded with other believers, our love must be from the same source. Okay, does that make sense? So if we're going to be like-minded, and what we're talking about, that you be like-minded with this, having the same love, if we're talking about that same love, what it means, we love the same way, we do the same way. No, it means having love from the same source. So what is our source? The Lord, yeah, we must draw from the qualities of listed in verse 1 by the Holy Spirit. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. And so we got back there in verse 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. Okay, so Philippians 2:2 gives us three ways that unity is achieved. Having the same love, being of one body, and being of one accord. So let's look at, first of all, same love. Okay? Spiritual unity is gotten, it's gathered, it's acquired through love. Does it feel weird to be talking about a unity and love in the men's Sunday school? Kind of feels a little bit misplaced, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say. It's fair to say, and it's fair for me to, you know, think that, because I'm here teaching that, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, I want men to be masculine men, leaders, right? And that's what I teach. That's what I believe God's plan is to be. Men is to be leaders. I don't mean to be arrogant and brash. That's something else. But we ought to be strong leaders, and so we don't think about strong leaders and love and unity in the same kind of context, do we? I mean, we do because we're believers, but sometimes those don't get together. But I want us to see if what we need is going to be something that we're going to have to lead, and we're going to have to be in this thing in a way that actually accomplishes leadership. So say I want Matthew to do something. I'm like, hey Matthew, I want to encourage you to do something. Like, oh, maybe get your license. Oh, see, I got personal data because it got real now. So I want him to get his license. So I said, hey, have you been practicing? Have you been training? Have you been taking your test? Have you been doing this? And every time I see him, he's like, yeah. You know, after a while, he's like, man, honestly, I'm not interested. No, you could. You know, and after a while, you know what I do? I grab him. I'm like, you need to do this. Right? Because why do I think he needs to do this? Because I think he needs to do it. Right? What's that? Well, but maybe, yes, yeah, this, but I'm saying ultimately it's, you need to be like me, or you need to be what I think is the right thing. And so I'm kind of, so what I end up doing is, it's not, watch this, it's not about him, it's about me, what I think is best for him. And maybe it's too close of a personal kind of illustration, sorry. But I'm just saying we can kind of get into this kind of thing of something where we can begin to do this. And it's not about love. And so we can lead not out of love, but out of force. And so I want to kind of develop that a little bit here. It's this. So it's about this. It's about manifesting the love of Christ. So it is about unity in the Holy Spirit bringing us together in the same love. And so I wrote this down. I said, This is about giving something, not being the pry bar. So love is something that we give, not trying to be a pry bar, making somebody do something. But we give. I want to help you. I want to give you. The unity is say, I'm going to give something. I'm not going to. A lot of times we get into a conversation with somebody, or I don't want to debate. I don't want to say a debate, but a discussion. What we find ourselves doing is trying so hard to convince them of my way. Maybe my way is the right way. Maybe it's the Word of God. Maybe it's right. But I'm trying so hard to move them that I end up becoming a pry bar rather than trying to give them some love. See, this is the thing of unity. Let me give them something. And you say, well, the pry bar is easier. Amen. It is easier. Let me just keep pressing and pressing and pressing. Okay. Somebody read 1 John 4:11, please. Okay, this is it. Why do we love? Because He first loved us. Yeah. The next thing is this, one accord. This refers to being united in spirit. Okay, united in spirit. What does that mean? Somebody tell me what that means. Somebody give me an idea. If I say united in spirit. Having the same vision? Okay, good. Somebody else develop that a little bit. Okay, good. Set of goals and beliefs, vision. I like this all kind of in the same. We think of spirit. Can we maybe think of a little bit, maybe if I use maybe the word attitude, can maybe kind of fit in there a little bit and a shared one accord. Listen, can I say this? I want to say this next step. Unity is not by accident. Unity is not by accident. It takes purposed effort and real work. You ever worked with somebody that's not on the same page as you? Right? And I mean like a close co-worker. And actually, have you ever worked with somebody, you need them to do the job, and they're doing it one way and you're doing it another. Or they're doing it in a way that, with a different attitude. You ever worked with somebody that's grumpy all the time? All the time. Everything is like you have. Come on through. Go ahead, guys. You ever work with somebody that everything that they do is frustration. Everything they do, it's like you have done some huge, they're like doing this monumental task. Everything. It's like, hey, can you give me that paperclip? Yeah, I can get that paperclip. You know what I mean? It's like everything becomes that thing. And so what we deal with, what we can begin to see is we have that. And so you're like, would you quit? You know, so what it takes this by we have to, we're not going to get in unity with them by accident. We're going to have to purpose to try to do something. You're like, how do you get somebody that's like that to just like not be negative or to be positive? How do we get them to do that? Well, here's the answer. I don't know, but it takes some patience. It takes the first thing we talked about. Love. It takes enough to say, you know, I want to give you not my love, because I don't really have the kind of love that can tolerate that. I hate whiners and complainers. I hate. That's a bad word. I shouldn't say that. It's really hard for me to be around people that are, oh, yeah, just, how you doing this morning? Just suffering for Jesus. You know, like, everything is a monumental task, and it's like, okay. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, go on. So we have to, I don't possess the love to fix that. And so it takes the love of Christ. So anyway, let's move on. So let me read Ephesians. Again, I want to say this. It's this thing of sacrifice. And we sacrifice on purpose for someone else. So Ephesians 4:3. Don't be shy. Go ahead. Okay, endeavoring to keep that thing. So let's look at the third thing, one mind. Having one mind doesn't, listen to this, guys. It doesn't, having one mind doesn't mean we have the same exact thoughts as one another. Okay? It doesn't mean that. Well, we don't think the same way. I just don't know if we can get along. Come on. And I've said this many times. I don't agree with myself all the time. Right? I change my mind. And if I expect you to follow me, I'm going to think this way. And I'll do this with my kids sometimes. I'll say, we're going to do this. And we're going down. Like, okay, we're doing this. I said, well, no, we're going to do this. They said, but you said this. And they're like, you said that. I said, well, I've changed my mind. I've thought about some other things. And so we're going to do this now. And like, they're following, like, how am I, you know, it can be frustrating. But because I'm, and the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, I'll change my mind. I didn't think about telling anybody else. Right? So this isn't about all of us thinking the same exact way. But that we, watch this, we direct our minds to the same focus and the same purpose. Okay? It's not that we all think the same way. It's that we get ourselves kind of wrapped into this thing that we kind of come that way, to the same mind. The ladies are in the back, if you follow them. Yeah. Thanks. So this is going to be the situation when we think, well, I think this way and I think this way. Well, let's be directed on the same purpose. Can there be two different ways to accomplish that purpose and that goal? Sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes this is the challenge. Now, I want to talk about, maybe we could use the word perspective, right? We have a different perspective. Let me give you an illustration. Okay. Sometimes seeing things the same way can be difficult. All right. Amen. Right. We can deal with that with like the color of paint. Well, I think it should be this. Well, I think it should be that. Well, can we both be right? Can we both be wrong? Yeah. You know how we're wrong is when we make. Anyway, let me just get on that. For instance, while cleaning out her dresser, a wife found two old black and white negatives stuck in a drawer. Anybody know what a negative is? What's a negative?
It's the proof that the developer gives to you before.
Yeah, it's from old, before we had digital, right? Some of you younger guys, the old digital, we'd have these negatives. And remember those rolls, 35, you'd roll, some people would never develop them. They clicked the photos and they kept rolls of them, right? Anyhow, so you got that. She found these two old black and white negatives tucked away in a drawer. She was curious to know what they were. So she dropped them off to be printed. When she got them back, she was pleasantly surprised to see that they were photos of herself in a younger and slimmer fashion. They had been taken on her first date with her husband. When she showed them to her husband, his face lit up as he responded, "Wow, look at that. It's my old Plymouth." Right? Right? So, listen, people see things differently because we have different focuses. You know, the wife is looking at, you know, man, back when I was, you know, thin and trim and young, and he's like, oh, yeah. Guys are like, yeah, whatever. Wow, my old car, that was awesome. You know what I mean? I think it's awesome. Anyways, great illustration. So, when it comes to areas that matter, though, okay, that's not an area that matters, except for. That would be a bad move by a husband anyway. But funny though. Funny. It'd be great. It'd be great. So when it comes to areas that matter, however, a humble person, remember we're talking about this whole series about humility. A humble person will seek to have the mind of Christ and thus be aligned with others who likewise share the mind of Christ. So can we get our focus off track? Obviously. Obviously. And so when there's something, and sometimes we can get bent on, and I want this color paint though. Has to be this thing. And so we can get kind of lose our focus. And so we need humility gets back to it. So earlier in Philippians, Paul challenged this church that their one mind should be focused around working together for the faith of the gospel. So somebody read for me, if you could, Philippians 1:27.
Spirit, but one mind striving together in the faith of the gospel.
Why should we come together in one mind? Verse just told us. For the gospel. For the gospel. Yeah, but I want it my way. And if it doesn't go my way, why even do it? Right? If it's not going to go my way, why? Well, see how we can get kind of messed up with that thing? Right? So, we could get this focus, or we could get off track, lose our focus on being more interested in what I want to do. And he said, we get our focus back on one mind for sake of the gospel. So, the only way this kind of like-mindedness can be achieved is by everyone putting on the mind of Christ. So think about this. Does anybody here play a musical instrument ever in school? Yeah, a little bit in school. So if there's an orchestra tunes their, when they tune their instruments, they don't tune them one to another, right? In other words, you don't have the first trumpet gets right, and then the second trumpet gets there, and then the third trumpet, and then the oboe tuning from the trumpet, and then you go to the next one. They don't go down the line, start from here and go down the line. What would happen? It would be like the telephone, right? It by the time you got to the end, it would be changed. Usually they tune to one. Usually in the case of an orchestra, I know these things because I've read them. Evidently it's the first violin is who the rest of the orchestra tuned. Did y'all know that? I don't know that either. This book said, so I'm going to take their word for it because they know more about orchestras than I do. So, but if they tuned one to another, discord would be the result. Okay. So even so, it's to be like-minded with other Christians. I don't tune to you. And then you tune to me, and then you tune to him, and we go, no, because we're gonna have some distortion as we get down. We all tune to Christ. We tune to Christ. And if I tune to him, and you tune, and we get the mind of Christ, we're all going to find our place, get together in that same place. So in a church, unity is gained when its members are each walking with God. That's where our unity is found. Amen? That's where it's found. The more of us that are walking with the Lord, the more unity we're going to have. When you start to find, I'm telling you, mark it down. Some of y'all have been in other places. You've been around other people. You've seen, if you've been here, you've probably seen two or three churches come and go. Maybe wherever you've been, you've seen. When you start seeing people, when there starts to be a discord, you can almost always source it to people that weren't walking with God. Now, mind you, it's not always the person that comes up, raises up their head, the one that's not walking with God. Sometimes it's Jonathan wasn't walking with God, and he's been filling Matthew's head with stuff. And so, you know what comes out? Matthew's the one that stands out, and he seems to be the one with the discord, right? And you're like, wow, what happened to Matthew? And it's hard to figure it out. It's like, what happened with Matthew? And it can be a little bit confusing. You're like, what happened with him? And you say, man, he just went off his rocker. No, what happened is there was disunity because people, and it becomes contagious, right? And this is where, so how do we fix that? Well, usually what Matthew does is says, I'm leaving the church. And then Matthew's like, well, I wasn't going that far. And Jonathan straightens up. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's actually pretty tragic. What this is, you could almost, every time I've ever seen discord in a church, it's almost always based, it's not the one that sticks their head up that's actually the one that quit walking with God. Not a lot of times it's not. It's somebody else that became that kind of thing. And so we find this situation. So walking with God is the thing. In a Christian home, unity is gained as a husband and wife, parents and children walk with God. And in Christian friendships, unity is gained when both people are walking with the Lord. So, if I walk in the Spirit, and I'm allowing God's Word to saturate my mind, then the way I live my life will be very similar to the way you live your life if you're walking with the Lord. right? If I'm saturated, I'm going to get the, and if you're walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, we're going to be saturated. We're going to be very similar. Are we going to be the same? No, we're not to be the same. We're to be different. We find this in the Scriptures, but we're going to have that same. That's where unity is found. Does that make sense? Unity is found in us, each of us as individuals walking with the Lord. That's why, listen, it's not just being the pry bar. This is why I don't really like to do too much and go too far down the road of verbally giving all these standards and verbally giving all these, you know, this is what we do and this is how we dress and this is what we do. Because when we start doing that, what ends up happening is I get you to conform to me, not to transform to Him. I get you to conform to me. And this becomes an issue. And so, man, that is not what we're looking for. We're looking for us to be transformed to Christ. And when each of us do that, we're going to be together in unity. Seeking to walk in unity is a characteristic of a person who is building humility below the baseline. Now let's go to Roman number 2. Separate from contention. Separate from contention. Okay, this is the thing. Somebody can read for me, please. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of minds, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Okay. So, how much of our problems should we deal with strife? How many? None. Nothing. So sometimes you just have to stand up for yourself and you just have to fight about it, argue about it. I got to fight. I had to just let them know what I thought, right? Sometimes, no, it's not what this says, is it? But this is what we say, isn't it? Sometimes, well, I just had to. You ever do that? I just had to this time. So the Scripture is very clear that there should be nothing done through strife. Or, what do you think that word vainglory means? What's that? Yeah, I want to get glory for me. Yeah, and that's, it's the one, listen, it is one thing to be walking in unity, but it's another thing to make the choice to separate yourself from contention. To make the choice to separate from contention. That's tough because you know what it takes when, Barry says something that's wrong. He says it wrong and he's saying it about me, right? And you know what I'm going to do? What do I want to do? What's the first thing I want to do by my human nature? Defend myself, right? I want to defend myself. I want to defend my honor, right? I want to say, no, that's not true. I'm not, you know, so we begin right away. It's our, that's tough, man. That is tough. That's tough to walk away from that thing. It takes a lot of humility. It really does. It takes more than, you say, is there piles of humility? If there's piles of humility, it took a big pile to do. So how do we walk away from contention? Refuse strife. Refuse strife. So strife is putting oneself forward, otherwise self-promotion, right? So often one who desires to promote himself or his agenda, watch this, they will slander, backbite, or gossip about others. So it's this. In other words, what it does is it puts others down, so that I'll automatically be lifted up. See, so instead of me lifting up my life, I'm going to put others down, so I'm going to be in this kind of way that sets myself in that kind of place. So, when we find somebody that begins to insult you, you ever been insulted by people? Yeah. You ever been insulted by somebody at church? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People say, sometimes people don't mean to be mean. They don't mean to be mean, but what they mean to do is have some vainglory. You'll say, hey, this is, no, like, no, 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 that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. I don't know where you even heard that. Let me tell you the truth. So it's, you ever has somebody ever done that to you? And it's kind of like a passive aggressiveness. You're like, wow, that was a shot, right? So what we find this thing is this is that when that comes to us, again, what do we want to do? We want to bow up. We want to bow up our chest, and now you want to put up our tail feathers, and it's like it's on, right? That's our nature, men. That's our nature. So look here, Proverbs 26:20. So let me read that, please. So how do you end a strife? Just don't put anything on it. You can't have an argument with one person. I think you're stupid. Okay. I think your ideas are poor. Okay. I still like the way you think. Okay. Well, say something. I'm sorry you feel that way. I mean, it messes up somebody's desire to argue. You know, I found that to be fun. Fun. I don't know if I shouldn't have fun with it, but I do. Somebody's angry and they're stirred up, and you're like, wow, they're mad. And so this is the thing. I probably shouldn't have fun with. Maybe that's probably not humility, but sorry. Okay, Proverbs 26:22. Somebody read that one, please. Yeah, it does hurt though, doesn't it? It does hurt. For us to walk away from strife, it isn't because it doesn't hurt. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, and words have never hurt me, right? That thing we used to say that when we were kids. We knew that wasn't true when we were saying it then. You know, that's why we said it, because it was a way to say something back. That's when you're a kid, that's kind of cool to say, but, you know, as an adult, it's not a good argument. Okay, James 3:16. Quickly, somebody read that, please. Evil work. Strife is evil. It's what we find here. So the world may use these tactics to elevate self, but a Christian ought to be different. Fellas, that's what we're saying. We ought to be a people who edify and build up in the faith. That's what we ought to be. Our speech ought to be used for the purpose of edification. That's what it ought to be used. Not to put people down, but to lift up. Ephesians 4:29. To the hearers, right? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Use our communication to build up, not to put down. It's worth noting that in our day, corrupt communication, I mean, I think it maybe should be said, can apply to just as easy to electronic communication as verbal, right? These electronic, we call it, what are they, keyboard warriors, I think it was something like that, they call them, they get on there and they'll say, I used to get on some of these things and, you know, Twitter first became X or about that time. I thought, okay, this could be interesting. I'll get on it now. I didn't want to get on it just to be a playground of all liberalism. I don't want to turn my stomach just for fun. So I got on and thought, okay, this, and I got to interact with some people about some Bible topics, some different things. And I thought, oh, this is, and then I started, the deeper you get in, I mean, there must be the algorithm that gets you deeper in. It's like, hey, we're going to start you off on the surface and then we're going to bring this other. And next thing you know, this is, I don't want to say vileness, but for believers, I felt it was vile, and I thought, man, and I wanted to comment back to them with the same veracity, and I would type something out, and then I'd delete. You know, and then I'd do it again. I'm like, man, this is terrible. I'm not going to get involved with this stuff. And I finally said, I can't even look on it anymore. What is wrong with people? What is so? So I'm saying corrupt communication isn't just saying bad words or vulgarity. It's how we talk. It's the spirit that we're dealing with each other. And so sometimes a contentious person stirs up strife through social media comments, harsh texts, messages, or firing off an email. I'm telling you, you find people that their whole purpose in life is to stir up strife, especially on these kind of deals like that. Okay, so interpersonal strife distracts us from the real spiritual battle, what we're supposed to be engaged in. So 2 Timothy 2:4. Let me read that, please. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay? Now, this is what I've taken almost my whole life as my life verse. This is one of the first verses I memorized. And it's the verse that God really set in my heart to say, this is, if you're going to be in battle, if you're going to be in battle for the Lord, we cannot get entangled with the affairs of this life. God's chosen you to be a soul. We can't get involved with it. This is what it says, get out of that strife, man. It draws you in before you know it. So the devil loves it when we are entangled with arguments and dramas with other Christians. Loves it. For when we are sidetracked with strife, we are oblivious to our calling as a soldier of the gospel. We get distracted with the strife. So B, maintain lowliness of mind. Oh man, I am terrible again. There's too much material here. So maintain the lowliness of mind. Now, we're going to go through this quickly. While strife is self-promotion, vainglory is an erroneous opinion of self. We got the wrong opinion of ourselves. And it takes place because we're proud. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Right? This is the D.L. Moody once said this: God sends no one away empty except those who are already full of themselves. D.L. Moody said that. God tells us to replace both strife and vainglory with lowliness of mind, to have a humble opinion of ourselves. It's this. It doesn't mean that I think of myself as worthless or valueless. It means I think of myself kind of in a more right way. How God sees me. I don't think of myself as that I'm this person that's up here. Here, guys, give me the pins. Y'all are very distracting up here. Can sit up and pay attention. Thank you. So when we, this not to think more highly, this thing, it's like I think I, this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. And this is my way. Really what we're talking about, this is my way is right. By the way, don't we always kind of think that to some extent? But when it comes to, if somebody has a differing view, if Jonathan comes with a different view than I have, my first thought should not be, if I'm going to get this thing to be a loneliness of mine, is he's wrong and I'm still right. It ought to be, let me see what he's saying and see how what he's saying matches up with what he's saying. Not what he's saying matches up with what I'm saying, but if he says what matches up with him, and I'm different, maybe I need to re-examine if what I'm saying matches up with what he's saying. See, this is what lowliness of mind gets to. And so we kind of get through this. We're going to skip through some of these verses. I want to drop down to C. Esteem others better is really this thing. It's what it said, Philippians 2:3. Let each esteem other better than themselves. The word esteem, it really means this: to set a value on. It's to esteem says, what's the value? What's the price tag? You're putting a price tag. You know, if you're trying to sell your car, you're going to decide, or you got some stuff, right? You ever went to a garage? Y'all like go to garage sales? You ever go to a garage sale and you walk up there and you're like, whoa, I'll say this to my wife, these folks really like their stuff. You know what I mean? They put price tags that's close to what they paid for it. It's used. And they evaluate it, you know, they esteem. So we're talking about esteem, we're talking about putting a price, setting a value. We ought to value others better than ourselves. We ought to put a value on someone else's soul somebody else's life, someone else's opinion. By the way, not saying their opinion is better than ours necessarily like that, but put a value on that person that when they have an opinion, when they have a thought, we'll give them some space to hear it, right? And so there is something more important than our glory. That's the glory of God. What's more important than us? So people who have humility below the baseline show respect toward others. And this can only be done when we have a humble attitude. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this with others without a humble attitude. You say, how do you build humility? If I was going to ask you that question, how do you build humility? What would you say? Okay, how do you let me ask a new question. How do you practice being humble?
You place a value on something that's not, that has nothing to do with yourself.
Okay, good. Yeah, and your answer is right. When I think how do you become more humble? I was thinking about writing a book on it. I've mastered humility, and I want to teach you how. Right? No. Humility is a tough thing. And I think in essence, how do we practice humility? How do we be more like Christ? Be more like Him. And how do we do some of those things, what we looked at? Put value on other people. Think about it and give space from that strife. Man, it's so unnatural for us, man. I'm telling you. I think this is probably the most important characteristic of what we're talking about in this whole thing of building below the baseline. It's humility. If we can get this one squared away, the others will be easier. But we never get this one really squared away, do we? But we can kind of at least get in that direction. So 1 Peter 5:5, I'm going to read the rest of them. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So God resists us when we're proud, and He gives grace to us when we're humble. It seems like it'd be obvious that's what we'd want to do, right? So when you sense that there's an issue that is pride-based, the best way to respond through it is through prayer. It is impossible to help another person see their own pride. You're just full of pride. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Okay, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, this is why I've said before, and I've talked about it last week, we've got to ask God, show me. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Right? Cleanse me. You've got to show me, because I can't see my pride. I think I'm fine. Right? I'm just saying, this is our nature. It's very difficult. Only the Spirit of God can do that. So a person who is building below the baseline will seek a walk of humility and separate from contention. So number three, serve others in need. Serve others in need. So, hours before Christ was betrayed and ultimately crucified, and as He shared the Last Supper with His disciples, what were they doing? They were bickering about, of all things, what? Who's the greatest? Could you imagine? The Lord, I'm about to die. I'm about to go be crucified, beaten, whipped, tortured, nailed to a cross, hung out to dry. This is what's happening, about to happen, about to do this for you. And they're sitting here. Well, after that happens, which one's going to be greatest? Man, what a problem. Christ responded by telling them that true greatness is having the humility to serve. For Luke 22:27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. So who's the greater? The one that's sitting there getting fed? Or the one that's feeding them? He said, I come to you as the one that's the servant. Wow. The posture of greatness is the position of a servant, not the position of a master. The greatness of the Christian life is not in being very good at looking out for yourself. It's found in being very good at looking out for others. People are a lot of work. People are a lot of work. What you're going to find a lot of times is people, they don't even want to look out for themselves. I mean, their own welfare, their own good, and they're self-destructive. And trying to help somebody that's already self-destructive, and you try to look out for them and help them, man, it's work. It's work. And the person you're trying to help at times that's self-destructive, they want to fight with you about helping them. Wow. What a challenge. It is an unselfish look. He says there in verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Look means to contemplate, to fix one's eyes upon, direct one's attention to. All of us have enough problems to consume our attention. We have enough of our own problems, right? But one who walks in humility has learned how to not allow their own burdens and problems to consume them or hold them back from being able to rightly focus on the needs of others. So this humility says, I have a whole list of problems. Who doesn't? Did anybody come in here today? Man, I have everything in my life is perfect. None of us come in here like that. Do you have enough problems to occupy all the space in your head? Absolutely we do. Every one of us does. But he says this, the person with humility is able to, in the midst of that, look unto others and see their need. This is not to say that we don't deal with our own matters in our own personal life. We have to do that, men. But the Bible says, look every man also on the things of others. Doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to, you know, there's an old philosophy that said, you know, just go serve God and God will take care of your family. That's foolishness. It's not what the Bible teaches. But this, he says, while you're taking care of the things in your life, look to others also as well, along with them. It's a twofold action. Keep tabs on your own business. Got to take care of yourself. But then also give time for others. That's what we're talking about. That's what humility. B, last thing, it's an outward look. But every man also on the things of others. A characteristic of someone who is walking in humility is that their focus is on serving others. They have learned to look beyond themselves and look also on the things of others. Now, this doesn't mean I let my house crumble while I'm trying to help other people. I've watched people at home, their own family is coming crashing to the ground while they're the counselor for like 3 or 4 other families. Right? Their home, their relationship with their wife, with their children is becoming, they don't even want to be there anymore. And so what they do is they run away from that and try to help others here and here. And they get, what they're doing is they're getting their own glory from trying to help others on their own house. Then that's not our answer. Don't grab that from what we're saying this morning. We have to look for ourselves, but then to look beyond us into those things. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God calls us to serve one another. He says, brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Someone who is developing humility below the baseline sets aside their own preferences and even limits their liberty to be able to serve others. I have a right to do this. Sure you do. Biblically, I have a right to do this. Sure you do. Yep, absolutely. Sometimes we set aside what it's my right to do that I might meet the need for someone else. And that's the challenge of this, right? Here's our conclusion of this lesson. I know I went through it. This was a long one. We probably could have done 4 weeks, and it's too long. I want to get this done. Can you imagine doing all this in 1 week? Couldn't even talk. Just give you the blanks. Our greatest example of humility is the pastor. No. It's Christ. Right. Man, it was very unhumble to use myself as, I should have said Matthew. Then it would have been, or anybody else, you know. Our greatest example of humility is Christ. He is our example. And that's why Philippians 2:5 points us to the mind of Christ. Okay, this is this. And I said this already, but I finished up. I wrote this on this page. Humility is one of the most challenging of all characteristics we're going to discuss in this whole thing. Humility is, it's a lifelong challenge. But here's the wonderful thing about it, and I said this earlier, is this. God said, God resists the what? Resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Yes, it's a challenge, but it's one of those things that comes with, I'm telling you, it comes with the greatest of benefits. If you will think about all the people that you know, Christians that you know throughout your own experience with Christians, the ones that have the highest place in your own heart and mind are the ones that were humble. That's who really God's grace is upon them. It's something special. And it is a challenge because it's very anti our own personality. But man, look out one for another. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time this morning. Thankful for this lesson on humility. Lord, I pray that you'd help us each to really grab a hold of this as much as we can. There from Philippians chapter 2. And Lord, pray that you would have your will and way in service this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.